With us today is Ambassador John Bolton. He was the president's national security advisor and one smart guy. He knows what's going on around the world. Ambassador Bolton, there's so many problems in the world. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think what Russia's up to now that Prigozhin has gone to meet his maker, I mean, I think this is the outcome of the power struggle in Russia is going to have a huge impact on Ukraine and Africa, really around the world.
Prigozhin and Putin were friends at one time, were enemies at one time. Nobody keeps track of what they were. But we understand that that China gave orders to Putin, if they can give orders to Putin, but they're the bigger, they're the 1,400-pound gorilla representing 1,400,000 people, I guess we could say that. Any chance that Prigozhin is still alive someplace?
No, I think it's pretty definitive that that he's not, and so that really raises the question: what does Putin do now? I think the point you just made about Prigozhin and Putin being friends is very important for people to understand, because the Wagner Group was set up because Putin wanted a military capability that he could use on behalf of Russia in the Middle East and Africa with deniability. So he created, almost unique in modern times, this private military company, put Prigozhin in charge of it, got some ex-military people involved, and they developed this operation really that went not just from being military, but in investing in a whole bunch of businesses overseas and making a lot of money. Putin does not want to lose that capability. He may rebrand the Wagner Group. He's certainly going to put his own people in, but that capability is something that he wants to keep. And it's important that that the connection with China here is understood as well, because China likes having a Wagner Group capability in Africa, in particular, to help protect their efforts through the Belt and Road Initiative to get economic control in many countries in Africa.
Well, why don't me and you can rename the Wagner Group and call it the Russian Foreign Legion?
Well, that's not far from the truth, and it goes to the other point you were raising about the price of oil and what impact that can have. The Wagner Group is probably almost self-financing at this point. So a lot of the sanctions that we tried to put into place against Russia, which have failed in many respects, especially the oil sanctions, would not undercut the ability of the Wagner Group to do its thing in both Africa and the Middle East, and now obviously in Ukraine. So this is something that gives Putin an insurance policy. It's another capability that before it was created, Russia simply didn't have. But it gives Putin the ability to play in Africa, in the Middle East, in ways that even in the heyday of the Soviet Union, Moscow didn't have.
Understood. So it's up to Putin's court now who he appoints as the number one guy in the Russian Foreign Legion or Wagner Group or whatever. And, I mean, the amount of minerals they're getting from those African countries are unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's why the recent coup d'etat in Niger just yesterday in Gabon really signals the continuing decline in influence of France over its former colonies and the ability of the Russians and the Chinese to make significant gains in Africa. I think we in America don't pay enough attention to the developments in Africa, but what China and Russia have in mind is really taking advantage of the African governments, overthrowing them when they need to, putting in this foreign legion, as you call it, and really exercising control. And I think if we were more attentive to what they were up to, there's a lot we could do to help them. But as it is now, the administration certainly has no policy on Africa, and I think it's showing.
The one place that we haven't talked about much lately, but it's who is controlling the aggression against the United States of America, whether it's our universities, whether it's, well, we know the Chinese are involved with with the drugs being fed to the Mexican gangs and then going up to America, killing Americans. I feel that there's an aggression against our country, and a lot of Americans don't realize it. I feel that there's an undertow of attacks in different areas. You're a smart guy. You've been in intelligence all your life. Tell me what you feel about that.
Well, I think there's no doubt that our adversaries who recognize that that even today, with defense budget levels being the way they are, we still are the dominant power militarily. But so what their strategy is to use what people call generally asymmetric warfare to engage in cyber attacks, to try influence operations, to undercut us economically, never to confront us militarily because they know ultimately what the outcome would be, but to weaken American resolve, weaken faith in our institutions, and to do it in a variety of different ways. That, you know, there's a controversy now about this app called TikTok, which is very popular among the young people. But it's like the story of the Pied Piper. The Chinese developed this. They've gotten people almost hooked on it, and it's something that they can use to reel in people later. But Chinese influence operations in this country and efforts really to fragment us politically are vastly underestimated. And I think we're still learning a lot about it. Some of them, like the Confucius Institutes at universities, are just propaganda centers. That's becoming more evident. But we've got to wake up to this threat because we have not been willing to see it. I think we do see more of the Chinese threat in the economic area, the stealing of our intellectual property and the threat they're posing to Taiwan and other things. But this attempt to influence our public opinion without letting anybody know they're doing it, that's much more insidious and, I think, long-term, more dangerous.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Understood. We got a minute left. What else do you want to tell the American people this Sunday morning, Labor Day weekend?
Well, I think it's just critical that we, as we go into the presidential campaign season, that we recognize what we really know, but we tend to ignore, that our ability to protect our interests around the world depends on a strong, free economy at home. You can't have that without a strong presence internationally, but you can't have a strong presence internationally unless your economy is strong. And all these proposals to increase taxes and spend more money are going to worsen our deficit, worsen the national debt. We've just got to have more fiscal responsibility. And because we need more defense spending, that's going to need some tough cuts in domestic programs. But we need to be willing to face up to that in order to protect ourselves around the world.
Ambassador John Bolton, thank you on this Labor Day weekend. Thank you for continuing to speak out for America. God bless you and God bless America.
Well, thanks for having me, John. The same to you.